Trash Planet contains themes of desperation and poverty. We portray a comedic, absurd, and violent world. For a full list of content warnings, please see the episode description.
Broadcasting live from the podcast dungeon deep beneath the Earth's crust, we are Trash Planet, the podcast that beats ass and eats trash. I am your host, Rabbit Sullivan. My pronouns are he, him, and she, her. And with me today are four of Cincinnati's sick, nastiest improvisers. Everybody, please say your name, your pronouns, and your vibe today. My vibe today is, it's like a puddle of diesel gasoline with that, like, rainbow sheen on top. Pretty cool, kind of gross. Devin, what's your vibe today? What's your name also?
I'm Devin. My pronouns are he, him. And my vibe today, I would say just a cozy little guy.
Wow.
I'm feeling cozy today.
Devin is 6 inches tall for the viewers at home. So, yeah, there you go.
In my tiny little chair.
Incredible. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Nihar. Pronouns are he, him. And my vibe today is probably Mr. Freeze from Batman.
Mm. You can't be cold right now, can you? In our podcast dungeon, so close to the Earth's core? I mean, come on.
True.
Batman?
Yeah, which Mr. Freeze?
Oh, boy. Probably the animated series one, so it's a little bit tragic. Oh, not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Boo. You chose wrong. Okay.
Oh, listen, Maddie. I really like that movie, actually. Like, I am a huge Batman fan, and I think I'm a bit of a Joel Schumacher apologist.
Yes, we're going to discuss later. Maddie.
Hi, I'm Maddie, she, they. And my vibe today is some toxic green sludge.
Delicious.
It's kind of glowing. It's kind of pretty. You want to touch it?
Incredible.
You shouldn't touch it.
Yes. Yes. Amazing.
Hi, I'm Natalie. Pronouns she, they. And today my vibe is those really idyllic, like, winter village paintings in the Alps. One of those paintings.
Ooh, that's very serene. You can't be cold, can you? Can I repeat the same joke? But we're so close to the Earth's core. Like, come on. Oh, that's great. Thomas Kincaid is shaking his fist at the sky because yours is so much more beautiful. Okay. Well, today we are playing A-State, second edition, written by Morgan Davey, Malcolm Craig, and Gregor Hutton. This is a Forge in the Dark game. It rules. We are playing it in our homebrewed setting of the landfill at the end of the universe, Trash Planet. You don't know the rules? That's fine. Basically, we're going to tell each other a story, and it's going to be cool. All right. Are we about ready? Everyone say that famous catchphrase we all know and love.
We're ready.
All right. So the screen is black. We hear feet shuffling. We hear objects clanking around. Outside, we hear howling wind, and far away, there's this deep, thrumming rhythm. It's something industrial, something huge. And then this camera blinks on, and we see a pair of lips. And they're so close to the screen. They're thin, nasty little lips. These lips look like sunburns on sunburns, splashed with spray paint and then dehydrated. And this close to the camera, you can't see too much of this guy, but you somehow get the sense that he's wearing a propeller hat. So, the lips lean forward to speak into this insane jerry-rigged microphone. Breaker 9, this is KLDX Tower Golf. Good morning, Trash Planet. It is the morning news with your boring manja Mike. Hello to my beautiful city of Fresco. It's 5:18 in the morning. Sorry I'm late. My morning got a little fucked up with the blackouts, plus I had a break-in. Oh yeah, we got more rolling blackouts on deck, especially for Bugtown, Happy Holler, and the Farragut neighborhood. You got a problem? You are more than happy to bring it up the Union Hall. I'm sure they would love to hear about it. In happier news, we have a birthday boy sighting up by the canyon. Everybody give it up for the birthday boy. Fair warning, I did get out the telescope and I saw Dilly Capistrano out there planting mines. So So if you're looking for our beloved local cryptid, walk fucking lightly. Standing bounty on the birthday boy is up to 6K, courtesy of the Skimmer's Trust. So good luck, everybody. Happy hunting. Fuck me, that's another molar. God, that's bleeding a lot. All right, now for the weather. As you may know, it's fucking hot, 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 high 90s all week. Tower Pony says there's a big cloud of glitter moving our way. Could hit sometime tonight or tomorrow, so keep those masks handy. Or just stay indoors, that's what I'm doing. Anyhoodle, stay tuned for an exclusive interview with the guy whose leg I just broke. You break into my house, I break your legs. That's how it works. So who's this guy with his legs broke? What's in his heart? Let's find out after our early morning rock block exclusive interview coming up. This has been Manja Mike with your morning update. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, you get brave, you get strange. Slancha, baby. And he hits a button and the music starts rolling. Kind of sounds like cool local punks, maybe from Ohio. I don't know. It's cool. And over the music, we hear the distant sounds of scuffling. And far away from the mic, we hear Manja Mike going, "So, tell me about your childhood." And the music is still rolling, just daka da daka da daka. And the camera cuts. We see this infinite rolling wasteland of trash. Miles and miles of it, hideous and tangled and dazzling. We see downed spaceships and shattered buildings and dented industrial machinery and 3D printed superstructures unspooling crazily in the heat. In the low points of the wasteland, we see trickles of this arcane liquid. It's neon green. It's hissing and sputtering in the early morning light. And rising above it all, we see immense ceramic shards. They are bright blue. They're like 30, 50 stories high. They're gleaming in the sunrise. They're truly just big ceramic splinters, like a vengeful god just hucked a vase down to Earth and it shattered. Which is kind of accurate, because many years ago, the chips fell here from orbit. They nearly killed a lot of people, but it's fine. We love the chips, because the chips shelter our beloved city of Fresco. Bam, the camera cuts. We're seeing a field of hard-packed earth. There's dust and ash in the air, just a little bit of haze. For a moment, everything is quiet and still. And then, like thundering gazelles, a bunch of jackasses sprint past the camera at full tilt. And every cleat that hits the earth sends up a cloud of dust. Through the haze, we see bodies moving. They're locked in combat. They're slamming into each other, howling. Somebody's hollering through a megaphone. "Watch your stance, Lou. Keep those legs apart. Jihadi, you can't stay on defense forever. Make a move." And above it all, we hear this tinny little boombox playing Manja Mike's radio show. This is morning practice for the city's premier tickball team, the Fresco Fuzz. Devin, you want to tell me what tickball is?
Yeah, tickball is the main sport of Trash Planet. It's kind of a cross between like rugby, bare knuckle boxing, and like pro wrestling.
Incredible. Yeah. It's also involves people who love substance abuse and doing flips. So what you're seeing right now is the coolest shit ever. We're seeing like writhing muscular bodies in the dust. It's like meat and violence and sweat. It's so cool. It's slow motion. The music is swelling. And then the camera pulls back and we see two dipshits out behind the bleachers trying to get a shirt out of a tree. One of these figures is about 7 feet tall and about the width of a pool noodle. His name is Chops. He's on the Fresco Fuzz practice team. Because it's Trash Planet and the air was so toxic it'll turn your lungs into putty, he's wearing a rebreather. It's pretty normal looking, covers his nose and mouth, got big silver canisters on the sides. And Chops is saying, "Damn, dude, it's really up there." And beside him, staring up at the tree, is a second guy, a more shirtless guy. This guy's shirt is in the tree. Devin, please describe your character.
Yeah, this is Tank Bosman. Tank is a big, I'd say like defensive end looking guy with a blonde flat top, just ripped, muscly. He is obviously shirtless. Yeah.
How's the bod looking? Scarred up?
No, it's pristine.
Pristine.
His body is a temple.
Great to hear. Okay. Fantastic. So what's your mask look like? Because you're probably wearing one, right?
Yeah. So his mask is top of the line, probably about 3 years ago. But it's still more advanced than probably anyone around him has.
Incredible.
Real sleek, you know, kind of the Apple school of design type shit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Your silhouette is cool. You look like a sleek Batman type. And what you're looking up at is a tick tree. It's covered in these crazy like 3 and 6 inch spikes and burrs. They're like sharp and sticky as hell. So tick trees grow the ticks y'all use as the ball and tick ball. So you're supposed to be a tough guy and just like climb up there and get your shirt or whatever. But it's 12 feet up there and that's gonna suck. And this is your one jersey. Like, somebody embroidered this for you. Like, losing this is a big deal. So you got your buddy here, and you got your whole team, like, right there. So whatever happens right here, people might see it. What are you gonna do?
Is there, like, a giant stick? Can I poke it down? No, They're not gonna like that.
Wouldn't be really cool, would it?
No. What if I put you on my shoulders? You're tall. I'm tall.
Yeah.
I think it would work.
I could like throw you really far. He's flexing. He's flexing to himself quietly.
I mean, no offense, bro, but you're pretty rail thin. Hey, you sure you can lift me?
He turns against the camera, and it's like an optical illusion. Like a piece of paper flat against the camera is big, and he turns to the side, and he just like completely disappears. So like, huh. You know? All right. So this is the maneuver. You're going to get on his shoulders, or he's getting on yours?
Can you throw me?
I can throw you.
All right. I trust you. We're teammates. I trust you.
I trust you.
I trust you implicitly.
I trust you. I trust you.
I trust you.
I trust you.
I trust you.
He like bonks your forehead, like forehead to forehead, just slam, you know. All right, please make some kind of roll here for whatever you're trying to do.
Okay. Let's see. That is a 4.
Oh, incredible. Okay, what does it look like? You're gonna get this hoodie, or you're gonna get the jersey, but you're gonna have a complication. So what does it look like when you get it?
I get the jersey and I get it down, but now, like, I launch through like a gap in the tree, and now my shoe is stuck up there instead.
All right, so two things happen. I think that what we see is a moment of Looney Tunes-esque motion where Chops is going to try and throw you like a hammer toss. Like, he's going to try and just like huck you sideways. Both of you are screaming, and it's not in a cool, like, tough guys doing stuff way. It's in a like, oh no kind of way. And then you are hucked at the tree. You successfully wrench it out of there. Jersey's covered in spikes, and as you're flying through, smashing against branches, you're getting, you know, a little bit cut up. You hear a tear, like your fabric tearing. You're like, fuck. And so you hit the ground, you've got your jersey back, it's a little bit ripped up. Yeah, how you doing?
That was awesome!
Yes!
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 The power of trust!
The power of trust!
The power of trust! Yeah, okay, so we're yesing at each other. And yeah, how's your jersey looking? Where did it rip?
I would say it ripped just straight up. Crop top now. It's a crop top jersey.
Wow, incredible. How did it happen that smoothly? Incredible. So you hold this up. What's your number, by the way? Not that it super matters, but why not?
44.
Okay. Incredible. A nice...
big tough guy number.
Is it? Good. All right. So as you're like kind of hooting and hollering with your buddy, a figure walks up from the team, and this is Ludonza, and he is one of the big shots on the team, and he looks like a fucking oil painting come to life. Like, he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He looks like an Arnold Schwarzenegger ate an Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know? He looks crazy. And he's covered in these, like, huge, colorful scars, and these are juice burns. This is what happens when you use the juice too much, and so we'll talk about the juice later. But he walks up, he's like, hey, you go to down, did ya? Nice job, Squid.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir.
I teach you to look up top, eh? And he punches you really hard in the back of the head. Like, just full on. Yeah, please roll a d6 to resist this.
That is another 4.
Okay. So you successfully don't take damage from it. But what happens is that you are just fully bashed into the tick tree, and you just like smack into like the burrs and the spines, and it's just like cutting up your face. You're like, holy shit. So it's cosmetic damage, but it doesn't feel great, right? And this dude's just like grinning at you. He's got long hair. His mask looks shiny. He's hot as hell. You hate this guy.
Well, you think I'm ready?
Ready for what?
You know, like, my shot.
Oh, you want a shot, do you? He kind of, like rears his arm back, like, hey, you want to go for it? You want to come on? And at this moment, your pager goes off. This brrr, like, high trill, huge clunky pager. It's like a 90s pager. And you glance down, and it's code 111. It's from your friend Connie. And you know what that means. That means he wants to meet up right now, and it's urgent. What do you do?
I'm going to take the shot.
Well, Sam, like, in what context?
Well, didn't you, like, weren't you going to hit me?
I'm going to fight you, man. You want to go for it, or what?
I can't back down now.
All right, roll for me. Roll something.
That is a 4 again.
My man is using weighted dice. He's rolling all 4s. Okay, what does it look like? You get one good shot on Ludonza.
I'm going to do the thing where, you know, you kind of wind up over and over again. And then as a distraction, just like a quick left jab.
Incredible. When you hit him, it feels like striking steel. Like, you're like, fuck.
I think I broke my hand.
Ludonza looks at you, and his eyes are empty. He says, yeah, man. Be seeing you, I. And we cut away in the midst of this, and we see ramshackle buildings made of tin and plastic and concrete, leaned together, welded together, edges packed with barbed wire and cut up plastic and mud. We see wires and cables draping overhead. We see black iridescent beetles underfoot. The ground is hard-packed earth, and the stink is incomprehensible. It is a beautiful morning in the Bugtown neighborhood. And we see a lady walking down the street. This is a normal-style lady. How does she look? She looks normal. She's thinking normal thoughts. Her thoughts are so normal, in fact, that as she's walking along, she fails to notice a loop of wire cabling on the ground, and her boot falls right in the loop, and then, whoop! She is hoisted upside down in midair. And she has a normal reaction, which is to go, ah! So she jerks to a stop. She is upside down. Shit's fallen out of her pockets. She's swinging back and forth as she struggles. We see that she's hanging from a haphazard radio antenna, which is creaking and bending under her weight. And the camera pulls back and back, and we see that she's swinging back and forth in front of a huge complex mural. And we realize this woman has not just been caught in a trap. This woman has been caught in an art experience. And grinning down on this lady, we see a certain figure. Maddie, please describe your character.
So, standing at about 5 feet tall, with a mess of curly hair piled on top of her head, even with her medium skin tone, you can kind of see clusters of freckles across the bridge of her nose. Her ears are studded with metal and with one long earring made of glass, and she has a scar on the left side of her mouth.
Yeah, what are her clothes like? Does she have a mask on?
No, Enla does not wear masks because she was raised with the Rovans, who are nomads in the upcountry. So she's used to being out in this environment.
That's sick and that's crazy. Almost nobody doesn't wear a mask. That's cool. And yeah, so you're grinning down on this lady. She has been caught in your art trap. Like, what would you say to her? What's the vibe?
Do you like it?
Oh my god! What is happening? What?
Well, I mean, do you like my art? I created this for you to experience what it's like for people to sweep you off your feet and basically ruin your life, you know? This represents capitalism. This piece represents capitalism.
Can you tell us, what does the mural look like?
Sure. So, the mural is basically of a robot attacking another robot, another smaller rusty robot.
Wow. So. You gotta be honest, is it good?
No, it's terrible.
Nice.
No, it's not great.
Nice.
It's big, but it's not great.
So this lady is sort of not getting a good look for a couple reasons, not the least of which is that she's upside down and swinging back and forth. She's like, so it's about... I thought it was about love! Like...
You think this is about love?
It's like two robots, right? And
The other one, is shooting. What are you talking about? It's about love.
You said it was about being swept off your feet.
No, I needed people to actually look. Everybody just kind of walks by and ignores it, so I felt like I needed to have some sort of interactive component. This is interactive art.
Am I interacting with it?
Yes.
Can I stop interacting with it?
I guess. All so, right. Inla gets her down.
Okay, you're gonna have to roll for that.
All right, I'm gonna imagine that's touch. So, okay. That's gonna be a 5. Best of the 2.
Right? Incredible. Okay. So you successfully get her down. You're like, it's a long process. It's a long enough process that as you're going, the ladies just sort of say, like, I mean, I guess, like, I haven't been in love, or at least not in a long time. I mean, there's, like, childish love, you know? But, like, what does it mean to really love someone? Like, to love a robot? Like, or are we the robots in the metaphor? Or
we're the rusty robots in this metaphor.
Okay. So what does the rust represent?
It represents all of our pain and suffering.
Is Enla convinced by what she's saying?
Yeah, it represents all of our pain and suffering.
Incredible. Wow. Yeah. You lightly drop this lady on her head a little bit. Ow!
Sorry.
She hits the ground normal style, just a little bit injured. She's like, I'm 43 and I'm gonna have a bad ankle for the next month, just so you know.
Well, at least she'll be thinking about me once a month.
Huh. Note, your pager goes off. Big, stupid pager. Clunky. Loud. Code 111. Connie wants to see you right now.
Oh, shit. I hope your ankle is okay.
It's not.
All right, gotta go.
Hey, where's your next exhibit?
Oh, you actually want to know?
I want to see where... I want to go other places.
Oh.
So I won't run into it.
Oh, that's...
I want to go around your exhibit.
Well, I do pop-up exhibits all over the city. So.
Shit! She starts running. And the camera whooshes away. Ah, past the grody and fucked up streets of Bugtown. Past the tent city at the long waits. Past the chips themselves. We're at the edge of town in this sloping, shady little grotto. The sun's glowing over the horizon up above. And the ground underfoot is kind of sandy here, kind of loose. And poking up from that sand, we see strange geometric shapes. These shapes are about 3 feet high, they're variable in color. Texturally, they're somewhere between plastic and flesh. And weirdly, they are really pleasing to look at. This place is called the Nubbly Garden. And today, for the first and only time this year, it's going to bloom. So, we see a few people gathered at the edge of this garden. Everybody's hoping to harvest something useful, but this is a public space, kind of maintained by whoever. So the people here are all outdoorsy types. They got big hats, big gloves. The energy is not unfriendly, but everybody's on alert. And towards the back of the crowd, let's hear some gardeners. What are the gardeners talking about?
My flowers are coming in good this year.
I think they're coming in bad. I think we could have done less nitrates.
I mean, I used the same nitrates as last year.
I think it was bad then, too.
You have to use your own pee as fertilizer.
Fuck!
It's your own pee, right? That's what fertilizes plants?
No, God. It's been pissed this whole time?
Well, it works for me.
This is devastating.
Reginald, guys, it all comes down to the glitter storms. Come on.
Ooh, and the camera pans over to a certain woman. Natalie, please describe your character.
So Lottie is a, average height, tan-skinned, sort of stocky older woman. She's got, like, big, bushy, graying, frizzy, curly hair, and has old, well-maintained, but old and scruffy-looking overalls and work clothes with big rubber boots at the bottom. And on her back is a very large device-looking thing with some tubes coming forward to a very bulky-looking rebreather on her face. It's a pretty good mask. It keeps her breathing well when she's out and about, but it's just very... dated. She's been around a while and been using the same one for a bit.
Amazing. So you're out here at the Nubbly Gardens. What are you hoping to get today?
So most of the people here are probably looking to harvest, like, grown fruits or something like that. Lottie is hoping to catch some of the unripe stuff that falls off of the falls to the ground where people don't really want it, and she expects that she might be able to grow some of these plants herself if she can get a decent harvest of those.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we're trying to get like a nubbly offshoot or cutting or something. Mm-hmm. Ooh, incredible. A little bit more the gardeners. The gardeners are saying, do you have bottles of piss? How much piss are we producing? How is...
I mean, you have quite an extensive garden, Richard.
It's not for sale.
He won't even let us buy the piss.
I can't understand. Why would he introduce us to the concept and then just...
Use your own piss.
I won't.
Make your own pie.
I won't do it, Reginald. Lottie, have you ever pissed on plants?
I don't think Lottie has done that.
Are these people, like, what's your vibe when you're, like, these community spaces, nobody's really in charge of them, you know? Like, how tightly are you involved in, like, the Nubbly Gardens, you know? Like, are you just kind of showing up today to see what's up?
I think Lottie's probably not that involved with them, because she has her own gardening to do back at the Screaming Slice. So she doesn't really, like, participate that much in, like, local community gardens that much right now. Because she kind of sees her own as a sort of community garden.
Nice. Ah, yeah. Is there anyone here that you are close with or that you've known for a long time?
Yeah, I would say this probably isn't like Lottie's first time here, just because she's failed in the past to try to get some of these growing. So she's acquainted with like the, not like guy who runs the place, but like the groundskeeper almost. Just kind of like chats with him whenever she comes around.
Incredible. All right. So like this is a little bit back in time. The sun is just cresting over the hills. And these nubblies, they're going to bloom once a year, and it's going to be a really tight window. So everyone's like kind of chattering anxiously. And when the sun cracks above like these crazy silhouettes of like industrial waste up on the horizon, everybody kind of like everyone's holding their breath together. And you look down at these nubblies, and you see just a little bit of a crack. It's like one of them is opening up. And somebody goes, it's happening! It's happening! And so everyone's kind of swarming to, like, the nubbly of their choice. So what is it? Which one do you go to? What does it look like?
Lottie finds one that's kind of, like, towards the base of one of these strange trees. And it looks like it's trying to open up and bloom, but it only does, like, a little bit.
Ooh.
And she sees that and thinks that it's probably like the best one for what she's going for. And she wants to take it.
Okay.
I don't know if she has competition or anything like that.
Incredible. Okay. I think that you're on your own back there, but as you're like settling down on your like creaky knees, you like hit the ground. You're like, ugh. You know, I'm middle-aged. This is a podcast about middle-aged people.
She's older than that. Obviously.
Incredible. I'm above middle-aged. She hears a yelp from Reginald the Piss Guy, Nihar, and looks over to see that his arm has been entirely swallowed, like he was too eager. He delved too greedily into the nubbly. His arm has been totally swallowed up by this 3-foot plant.
Oh man, at least it was my arm.
We all paused to think about that for a minute. and he is starting to scream in pain. You realize that, like, he's, like, trapped in there, and if he doesn't get help, something bad might happen to this guy's arm, but you might miss your shot at getting a cutting. Oh. What are you going to do?
Lottie is going to try calling out to him and giving him a suggestion.
Okay, what do you say?
Haven't you been here before? Just tickle the inside a little bit.
I can't feel my fingers!
Just wiggle them. You don't need to feel them to do that.
Lottie, how about you roll something?
Okay, I'll go for command.
Okay, cool. You didn't.
I did.
God damn it. For the listener at home, Natalie is maybe the luckiest person on this earth and never rolls lower than a 6.
Six
out of six. Incredible. I'm going to start giving you bad dice. It's going to be great. So what you say... saves Reginald. You say one more thing, the perfect thing. What do you say?
She just calls out to him and says, don't you have a girlfriend or something? You know how to do this.
Oh, man. Reginald the Piss Guy, how's your experience going?
Well, Reginald the Piss Guy just realized that he has something to live for. And he does know how to do this.
Wow. And we all pause to contemplate that. Reginald successfully tickles the plant with his unfeeling hand. He gives it the stranger, one might say. And it, like, with a pop, pulls out of the nubbly, only grievously injuring it a little bit. These things are so delicate. And then what does it look like when you get your cutting or, like, whatever you're looking for, Lottie?
It looks like one of the blooms that people are trying to harvest, but it didn't, like, fully bloom. So instead of, so Lottie expects that instead of releasing a bunch of seeds, they're still in there.
Oh, okay. Incredible. So you're just pulling out, like, handfuls of seeds and shit. That's what it sounds like.
I think it's just, like, one of the pole blooms just, like, cut off, like, a almost like a container with seeds in it.
Ah, oh, incredible. It's so perfect and round in your hand, and you're feeling great. And then your pager goes off, and without even looking, like, on that six, you're just, like, smooth and professional. You just look at it, you're like, oh, okay, Connie's calling a meeting. Guess I'll pop over there. I don't know if that's the tone in your head, but that's how I'm feeling it.
She's probably feeling smug after getting the perfect find for herself.
Incredible.
Walks out of there thinking, these fools have one flower, soon I'll have plenty.
All right, Lottie and her beautiful nubbly disappear into a crazy Star Wars diamond dissolve. It looks really bad. And then we see... we all know the reference. We know the bad transitions in Star Wars movies.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about that for 45 minutes. No. So, zoom, we are slightly back in time. It is just before sunrise, and we're in a twisty little street on the outskirts of Bugtown. And we see dozens of skimmers crowding the street, just hovering in place. And skimmers are basically jet skis that hover. They are the main mode of transport on Trash Planet. These skimmers are loaded down with barrels, and we see mushrooms and spiky little nuts and gnarled roots. We see buckets of SD cards and plastic resin and bottle caps. We see people selling vertebeast innards deep fried on coat hangers. We see bins of flopping acid yellow fish. And beyond the skimmer vendors, we see crooked, hand-built little buildings, already alive with neon lights and shocking odors. So this early, the crowds aren't out yet, but there's a few bodies moving. We're haggling, we're trading, we're stocking up for the day. This is the food court, Fresco's infamous wet market and restaurant district. So the camera's shouldering through the street vendors and the hanging displays. It comes to a stop before a figure with very high, very tense shoulders. This guy's posted up at a cart vendor, and he is having a productive discussion. Nihar, please describe your character.
Yeah, so Connie is average height, like, I think a little short of 6 feet, has, like, white silver hair, all of it, just, but sort of short hair, well cut, kind of slicked back. The top of his head from the eyes up is, like, a bright cyan. This is due to religious punishment. But he also has a sort of cloak, what do we call it? Like a poncho, which is made from what was clearly like a burnt robe, that's been sort of patchwork put together. And as for his mask, it's like plain black plastic, looks very cheap. It's as I've said, the equivalent of using one of those disposable masks way too many times during the pandemic.
Ooh, yep.
So it definitely, like, this is a throwaway thing. It should not have been used this many times, but he can't afford another one yet. So.
I'm going to say there's a little crack on one side of it that every so often you're just getting a blast of regular Helica atmosphere, and you're just like, ugh. Like, it's bad vibes in there. And also, you're here shopping, you're stocking up for the day. How are you carrying all your bullshit? Like, are you laden with bags, or, like, how's this working?
I have probably, like, a little cart. It's basically just a basket with two wheels, and like, one of the weaves is a little bit longer, so I can just pull it.
Nice. I'm going to say one of the wheels is also a little bit bigger than the other, so it's always trying to go. It's trying to go off to one side.
So, like a regular shopping cart.
Yeah, kind of like that. Shout out Kroger. Please maintain your stores. God damn it. Okay. So, what are you buying right now? You're posted up at, like, a cart vendor. You're arguing with this lady. Her name is Almira. She has, like, a big pinwheel on her mask. Like, this is just kind of a decorative thing. It's, like, slowly swirling the whole time you're talking to her. And it's really pissing you off. Like, it's just really distracting as you're talking. So, what are you buying right now?
So, I think I'm probably buying, like, pepper flakes or something. such equivalent, like a flavoring equivalent, something for the restaurant.
Yeah, sounds about right. Okay. So she is passing them over to you, and she's like, and just so you know, like, I'm sorry about the price on this, but, like, they did come from out by Gorgeous, you know, the town. So it's gonna, you know, it's a little bit upcharged because, you know, we've had the problems with the skimmers and, you know, all that shit. So anyway, and she's weighing it out on a big old rusty, like, fully mechanical scale. So you notice it when she weighs it, and you just see as her hand just pushes it down a little bit in the back, like, where she thinks you can't see it. She's like, yeah, so that'll be about 2 pounds exactly. So that'll be, you know, like one coin equivalent.
I'm sorry, am I paying for your finger as well?
But what?
No, it seems to me like a part of the weight was your finger, so I feel I'm entitled to it if I'm paying the full amount.
All right, please roll something for me.
I think persuade. I'm being a little intimidating.
That is a little aggro. Is your vibe like a smile in your voice, or is your vibe like, hey, fuck you?
I'm being very matter-of-factly like, hey, you're ripping me off. How about you don't?
Okay. I might call that, command. I think.
I can do command. 5.
5. Okay. All right. She like pulls her hand back and the scale like springs back up and she's like, listen, you know I gotta try. You know I gotta go for it. Okay? Like, we all know.
I know you have to try. Just don't try it with me.
The sunglasses descend upon your face, so you're like, yeah, the cool guy moment. Oh, it's so cool. Sorry.
I had a CSI Miami thought.
I know! Wow. I want you to make that noise forever. And she's like, yeah, whatever. And she starts, like, she's pulling in some more flakes into the bag, and she also hucks in some cool dried, looks like mushrooms, you're not really sure what it is. She's like, all right, on the house. Hey, I appreciate you, though. Always appreciate you. Always appreciate you coming by.
Just don't try to rip off a loyal customer. The Screamin' Slice has many places we could get our ingredients from. We don't really.
She doesn't hear that last part, so she's like, yeah. All right, listen. Okay. So, fuck. You want some heat? You want some heat on top of this? I mean, I...
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, speaking about loyalty, you know I like a little bit of gossip. Like the pinwheel is just spinning on her face, and it's just really hard not to just watch this slow rhythmic pinwheel as she's talking. You're like, whoa. And she says, did you hear about the fucking Giddy girls? God, they're such dumbasses. You know they handle the deliveries for Tender Mercy, right? They fucking lost it. They lost their radio transceiver. They're just like out there looking for it. It's fucking crazy, right?
You're telling me that there's a fresh produce delivery that hasn't been picked up by the Giddy girls?
Yeah, I guess that is what I'm saying.
This is fantastic news. All
right. So as you're turning away, like, let's say you're pulling out your pager, you're sending out the call. I'm being really nice giving you all pagers, by the way. So, say thank you. Thank you.
Rabbit wants a thank you.
I love to be thanked. Tell you one thing about me. But as you're turning away, you look up and, like, the sun is just cresting the horizon. And you see across the square, so a good distance away, you see two figures. You see this flash of purple and your stomach drops and you almost look away, but you force yourself to stay steady and make eye contact. And this purple flash is a standard. It's like a big vertical banner on a pole. And it's got this lovely geometric icon on it. It's hand woven. It's beautiful. It's a real work of art. And below the standard, holding it upright, you see two people. You see one adult and one child. Their robes are purple like yours, but theirs are long and clean and patch-free. They look at you. You look at them. Absolute eye contact. You can't pretend you didn't see each other. What do you do?
I have to divert my attention and try to walk away.
Yeah, okay. So as you're walking away, the last thing you see is that the older one puts their hand on the kid's head and just gently turns it away so that they can't look at you.
That hurts.
Oh, all right. And da-ga-da-da-ga-da-da, the camera cuts! And we are inside our incredible restaurant, the Screamin' Slice. Who would like to tell us about the Screamin' Slice? What's the deal?
Okay. It is one of the many restaurants in the food court. the Scream and Slice is called that because their specialty is pizza. And their pizza is made from a specific mushroom. I can't remember the name. But it's the big, wide, flat mushrooms. You can picture it. But when they are cooked, they release a lot of their water as steam and let out a noise that one could say is a scream. Hence the Scream and Slice. I think it's probably one of the only places in the food court with a like an oven, like a pizza oven as well.
Yeah, we got a big old oven. It's great. Devin, what does it look like in here?
Oh, it's real grungy, real bodega vibes inside. You know, little booths with like the picnic kind of pattern tablecloth, but it's like vinyl.
Yeah. Yeah, the kids' menus you got to do a maze on.
Yeah.
Got like gingham covered in plastic.
Yeah.
And they're all filled out several times over.
Yeah.
Kind of just like a New York bodega crossed with the worst Chuck E. Cheese you've ever been to.
Yes. Oh my God. There's an animatronic in the corner. Natalie, what is it? What's this animatronic?
It is, what did you call those like the not dogs that were racing?
Oh, the vertebeasts?
Yes, it's a vertebeast.
Ooh, okay. So just so you know, a vertebeast is a homegrown kind of mutant creature that we've got here on Trash Planet. They're like if dogs were weasels or also slugs. They're really long and they're really fast and they're kind of slimy and they suck. But yeah, so we have a really big one and it's like goob and it's like, you know, just very big goober under there. Like, you know.
Vinny Vertebeast.
Vinny Vertebeast, okay.
It used to be a normal animatronic and it broke down and the parts have been replaced and redesigned since then with trash.
Incredible. Okay.
And they worked really hard on it.
And look, Vinny Vertebeast has a secret. What is the secret of Vinny Vertebeast?
Vinny Vertebeast has a secret compartment on his side that holds a bunch of little fun trinkets for each of us that represent each of us.
Oh my God. Okay. I love that. We'll revisit later. So are we in the booths or are we back in the kitchen as we're hanging out as a group?
I think since I called the meeting, it's got to be in the kitchen, right?
This is, yeah.
We are planning to steal something.
Oh, so. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just to clarify, how do we relate to the Scream and Slice? Why are we here and not elsewhere?
Well, Inla works there part-time and also lives upstairs.
Incredible. Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah. Connie works and lives there. Yeah, on the roof.
Nice.
In the tent.
Yeah.
Lottie lives upstairs and also helps with ingredients by having a greenhouse in the building. Probably on the roof, I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. We also have a mushroom cave down below, which is kind of under construction right now. So that's a concern. Tank, why are you here? Do you work here?
No, Tank does not work here. He just kind of comes and hangs out and eats and was kind of adopted and works for free.
Incredible.
Well, not for free. He works for bone broth and...
Incredible.
And other random shit food.
Plus the owner of Screaming Slice, like, it kind of has Tank as a pet child.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's a pet project.
Incredible. Speaking of her, we see a bowling ball of a woman. She is tough as nails. It's early morning, so she's not quite at a full tilt yet. But as you guys are, like, you're all packed into the kitchen, kind of cluttering it up. And she, we see this lady... she also has, like, a blue thing on the top of her head. It's a lot like Connie's, except hers is really faded and old. Like, it's a lot softer, and you can see some of her natural skin color underneath. And as she, like, you're standing around, you're speaking, she just, like, sort of pushes someone to the side to open the fridge. It's just like, can you just, like, just get out of here? Just, like, what are we doing? Connie, you're working. What are you doing right now as you're holding this meeting?
I'm probably chopping something. Or no, I'm restocking the like mushrooms and peppers that I got.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's it going? It's
it's going fine. I have to probably patch up some of the bags to store some of this stuff.
Yeah. Okay. She's like, did you get all the bags back? Her name's Halberd, by the way. I don't know if I said that. She is tired. She's got a big cup of Joe, which is mushroom coffee here. We don't have real coffee beans. Everything go well at the market?
Yes, that's actually why I brought...
Good, I don't care. All right, bye. and she, like, grabs some shit out of the fridge. She is just eating raw pizza dough. It's a bad time for her. But yeah, it's actually, like, the cheese dough. We don't have bread here. So, anyway, what are y'all saying? Like, you all, one by one, arrive onto the scene. What's the vibe?
Connie, what's up? Like, what you rang?
So I just received some news that could help, you know, fill our pockets and help the Screaming Slice just a little bit.
Oh, do tell more. Oh, I guess we should wait for the rest of us.
Emma, what are you doing right now? You're like you're clocking into your job. What are you doing?
I'm gonna start prepping some veggies. So I'll like be cutting up some shit.
Incredible. The knife is bad. It is rusted and weird. It feels bad in your hand.
Thank you for that detail.
I'm gonna push back against that.
What?
I think Enla's good at maintaining her knife, right?
I thought this was the restaurant's knife, not yours.
Well, I mean, I would bring my own because okay. I would hate the restaurant's knife.
All right, fair. There's a bad knife on the wall, but you're using your knife.
Like, fuck off. With that yeah. shit.
All right, fine. You've taken me to court, and I've lost. That's fine. Tank arrives on the scene. What's your vibe?
I came as fast as I could. I broke my hand and disappointed the star of the team. But
we see spikes coming out of his forehead. Yeah, just like blood dribbling.
Just cuts all over my body.
Yeah. I guess it wasn't that much of an emergency, but thank you for coming.
If it wasn't that much of an emergency, why'd you use the emergency code?
Because it was kind of an emergency.
Okay, but now we have to have a kind of an emergency code.
Well, you know what? I just won't.
We need levels.
We do need levels.
We do.
We need a little more nuance.
We flash back to the previous meeting when you tried to have a nuanced radio code. Give me three sentences of that. What was that like?
Okay, so when it's like a medium emergency, you just use 11112, all right?
But I mean, won't you just see the first three ones and just be like, nah, I'm good?
No, I don't think.
And what constitutes a medium emergency, Tank?
Well, I don't know if it's like an emergency, but like, you know, like medium. You don't.
We cut back. Back to present day. Okay. All right, Lottie wanders in from the mushroom caves down below. How you doing, Lottie?
Lottie walks into the room just kind of like carrying like a big heap of mushrooms like in her arms. And she sees that Tank is all kind of like scuffed up and cut up. And she's kind of like worries a little bit and kind of like drops him and runs over to him and starts fretting over his scratches.
Aww.
No, I'm good.
Tank, are you okay? What happened? I'm good. Did someone hurt you?
I'm good. No, I'm good.
Here,
I'm good,
take
dog.
Some of this. It'll help you out.
It's just acid. It's like, no, what is it?
It's probably just one of the patches of mind that she's been prepping for the day.
Oh, incredible. Oh, yeah, just so we know, a very common drug here on Trash Planet is manja. It's kind of psychoactive algae powder. It's really common, it's really cheap, and people trade in it all the time. So you just hand over some manja, and you're just like, all right. Incredible. Oh, Tank, do you take your manja or what?
Yeah, I take the manja.
It has no statistical effect on you, just so you know.
I just thought of like the Pokemon screen. Yeah. Like, it's like not effective.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
I have a lead on what could be some fresh, actually fresh ingredients.
So you recall everything that you both was told to you and that you know from the ambient world at large, because we know these things. You know that. So there's a really nice steakhouse called the Tender Mercy Steakhouse, and they are the finest restaurant in all of Fresco. And one of the things that makes them incredible is their ingredients, which actually come from off-planet. And red meat is so hard to get. It's so, so difficult here. But they have stuff dropped from orbit, and just someone picks it up and takes it to the restaurant. And typically, that's the Giddy Girls. That's just like a little local, you know, scufflers. Like, what are they up to? We don't know. But you have just heard that the Giddy Girls lost their transponder, or like they lost the radio code. Some shit happened and they can't find it. So that something has been delivered and no one has picked it up. So it's somewhere out there.
Well, it's a radius of around 2 kilometers in the south.
Yeah, south of the canyon, yeah.
It would have landed somewhere over there. We just need to comb through everything and hopefully not come across any bad actors in the meantime.
Sorry, that's endless just sarcasm.
I know. If I've heard this just from a salesperson, that means other people have as well. We need to be fast and we need to be ready for a fight.
All right. I think that's as good a point as any. At this point, you get one roll. You can either gather information or acquire asset. And then after that, we're going to go right into, like, mission shit. So what would you like to do with your one roll before we kick off?
We have a skimmer, right?
Ooh, we have a skimmer, but yes. I thought this would be kind of fun. So the skimmer belongs to Lottie, but there's some stuff wrong with it. Let's all go around and say each of us tells us one thing that's wrong with Lottie's skimmer. Devin.
unbeknownst to everyone else, Tank took it out for a joyride and just like crashed straight into a tree.
I'm going to say a broken frame, but it's not fully broken yet. It's like on its way out. Like, okay.
Well, we refashioned the engine to act as an oven at one point, and when putting it back together, we didn't quite do it right, so it doesn't cool down properly. It overheats quite easily.
Okay, overheats. Incredible. Lottie?
This was the Duvet Brothers skimmer, wasn't it? Yeah, the strange duvet-themed upholstery on it is just really dirty and smells bad.
Smelly skimmer.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm going to put the tag smelly on the skimmer. Yeah, and finally, Ella, what's wrong with the skimmer?
You know, it kind of leans to like a side. To
it just scrapes against the earth as it, like, is it supposed to hover cleanly and it just... like everywhere it goes.
Yeah, I was thinking like only on like certain bumps, but yeah.
Okay. It's just sometimes. Just so you are able. Just so we know, a lot of Trash Planet is just a scrapyard. Just picture a scrapyard. It would be so difficult to physically climb over all that. So that's why a lot of stuff here hovers. So luckily, you already have a skimmer because of off-screen adventures. But yeah, is there anything you would like to acquire assets or any information you would like to get?
Yeah, I think I would like to just be able to figure out the area, the geography of where it landed, any potential hazards or advantages in that area.
Yeah, so this would be your one role. Are we cool spending our role on that?
I was just pitching.
We need more information anyway. I think our skimmer is definitely worst of the wear, but I think the fact that we could potentially be up. I'd like to have more information personally about how many people we're up against, who we're up against potentially, and like have a little bit more information about where the fuck we're going.
I would say let's figure out who's going after this. Cause like we could also tail them.
That is an approach. You could just wait until someone else gets it and then you could take it from them. Like
that's
yeah.
true. That's basically guaranteeing a fight, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the Giddy Girls, but they're currently out there searching for it. If we just want to post up and wait, we could do that, and then.
So you guys would know ambiently, the Giddy Girls are pretty big hitters usually. Like yeah. They're definitely tougher than you guys. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go for it, but that is like that would cross your mind where you're like, ugh.
Okay, then maybe we just get information and try to get to it first.
They are an established group. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Lottie could probably ask around just like her customers a bit,
especially
as she gets the day going and like interacts with a few of them for their daily batch.
Okay.
And I do have an ability to know everyone, where I always seem to know someone who knows something.
Ooh.
Plus one reward when using charm to gather information.
Oh shit! Okay, plus one reward. Okay, so we're gonna call this controlled great in terms of the risk of what we're doing.
So if we want to do that, I can. Do that as the Pilates feature. Cool.
100%.
Absolutely.
So I'm using charm then.
Mm-hmm. And I want to see a montage of people you're talking to. So yeah, okay.
Oh. 5.
All right. So you successfully gleaned some information. Mm-hmm. All right. So Devin, who's the first person that Lottie talks to?
Hey, you got the stuff?
Yeah, Ernie, you here for your howler?
Yeah, I'm here for the howler.
All right. Do you have your payment this time?
Well, I was hoping we could negotiate on that.
That's what we did last time.
Yeah, but you seem so affable. I am. I figured maybe we could, work something out.
Yeah, we worked something out last time that you were going to pay me this time.
Well, maybe I was thinking we could double down on that and push it out the next time. I'm sensing that that's not going to be the case here.
I don't think this time, but perhaps you might be able to leave me with a little bit of collateral.
Oh, the only thing I got on me is my wedding band.
That's probably worth a couple bags of holler.
Well, I mean, it is sentimental.
We abandoned the mission. We're invested in this guy now. What's his marriage doing?
I guess I'm good for it. I'll get it back.
Listen, Ernie, you know I'm just giving you a hard time. Here's an extra one for the wife, and bring back enough for four next time.
Four. Okay. I gotta take a couple extra shifts in the mine now. But yeah, the wife will be pleased.
Do you take the wedding band or not? Mm-mm. Oh, wow. You could have been married.
I could have.
It would have instantly transferred the, the marriage onto you. That's how marriage works, as we know. Yeah. What do you ask this guy?
And since I'm being so nice to you, Ernie, have you heard anything on the streets lately about the Getty Girls or some kind of shipment nearby?
Yeah, actually, I do. They're the Getty Girls. They're out there swarming like a swarm of trash bees out by Buster's Canyon. So, it seems like something's going on.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm glad you could help me.
No problem. Does that reduce my payment?
It does. Thank you so much, Ernie. You're
so good to me.
Please bring me enough for 3.5 next time.
Okay, then, you know, I'll spread the word as well.
Okay, well, your complication is that Ernie, the cool guy who's married, is going to tell everyone that you're a pushover and that you're giving really, really low prices on drugs. So you did roll a 5, so that's your complication, is that all your upcoming customers are going to think you're a pushover. Okay.
All of them are just the ones
from
him?
Well, the new ones. Yeah, the new ones. Okay.
How big of a mouth does he have?
Have you heard this guy? He speaks so loquaciously. I mean, everyone is delighted to hear from Ernie.
And his wife.
And our book club. Very popular book club.
Oh my God.
You can read?
We cut to the book club. This is the next 45 minutes of the episode. All right, anyway. So, incredible. You have acquired the information that the Giddy Girls are looking in South Buster's Canyon. So, next up is the engagement roll, which is, it's a D6, unless we are either adding or removing bonuses for circumstances. So can you think of anything that would help, like, argue me? Give me an argument.
Argument for?
Why I should give you extra dice.
Ah.
And why I should not take them away.
I mean, I can think of a reason you should take one
away. I know, I can also think of a reason.
I mean, I grew up in the upper lands. I kind of know what's happening around there, so I can at least try to, like, direct people.
Dope. Okay. All right. Oh, that's +1. Anybody else have anything?
I don't know if it qualifies as a +1, but I feel like it at least avoids a minus. Is the information we gathered and not searching down where the Getty Girls are?
I'm trying to decide how mean to be, because you guys are not the first on this, right? So I think I am going to take off one dice for just other people who have been looking longer, right? Someone who's not Natalie, please roll the engagement roll.
I'm banned from engagement dice.
Yes, you are. The mission goes perfectly. Nothing is wrong.
Oh.
Oh, no. That is a 2.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, so paint the picture. Who is driving the skimmer right now?
Lottie is.
Okay, how are you feeling? How often do you go in the upcountry like this? Because this is, like, deep in the upcountry.
Lottie pretty much probably never goes out there. maybe every now and then to find some new plant or something like that, but there's no customers out there. There's very little reason to be out there. Yeah. I don't know, she's probably feeling pretty comfortable. She enjoys driving the skimmer around, so she's just kind of... enjoying the vibe, hits a rock here and there.
Nice. You say she's going extremely fast or extremely slow? Like, I could see an argument for either one.
She's going a little concerningly fast. Like, just enough that when we hit, like, a bump or a rock or something like that, it's uncomfortable for the passengers.
Nice. Okay.
Oh, Lottie. Oh,
well, I think because you are like scaling and dropping off of trash heaps, like there's nothing flat anywhere. So you are just constantly like, like, I mean, you're floating, but it's not good. Like, you're not having a smooth time. So Tank, you are clinging on by the skin of your incredible. So we're deep in the upcountry. And this is the part of Trash Planet that is just landfill. It's just where all the shit fell from orbit. It's where it all moved around when the nuclear blasts went off. It's where, you know, all this crazy shit just piled up, covered up with dirt and ash. And every so often, something will fall from orbit and obliterate the whole area and reshape the landscape again. So there is life out here. There's some plants. There's some stuff that is surviving despite it all. But this is rough, fraught territory, and it's different every time you see it. So, Enla, what is it like being back here? How often do you leave the city these days? Because you grew up out here, but...
Yeah, Enla doesn't leave the city all that often, just because, like, to visit her family every once in a while, but even then, it's just... It's nostalgic, but, like, in a home, like, going back to... Like, going back to your hometown, it doesn't feel like home anymore kind of energy.
Okay. And so there's that fact that something could just fall from the sky at any moment and kill all of you in an instant. Like, how is that sitting with you?
Enla does not miss that feeling.
Yeah. Okay.
She likes having she's kind of grown accustomed to having, like, a solid roof over her head and having that kind of consistency.
That's the chips, man. That's, like, when stuff falls and hits the chips, people are fine. So, yeah, it's really scary. You're exposed. So everybody, let's go around and say one thing we see out here in the wastes.
I think, I don't know, there's just like a big empty refrigerator, just like wide open, and yeah, it's just sitting out there.
It's so big. It's like the size of a small house. Like, you're guessing it's from some kind of industrial processing plant. You have this crazy urge. You're like, I could get in there and close the door. Like, I don't know.
It looks safe.
Yeah, it looks safe in there.
It looks like it might protect me from a nuclear blast.
Yeah, incredible.
Some, almost like a meteor shower in the sky, we see like some sort of like heavy metal crystal thing just burn up and spark and fizzle away in the atmosphere.
Scary. Okay, it's beautiful and it's scary. You're just like, oh, you kind of feel it in the back of your throat. You're like, fuck. Yeah.
In the part that we're driving through right now, there is a bunch of, seems like some sort of like trash shipment from like a kid's hospital, something like that got dumped here. So there's just a bunch of like scruffy old stuffed animals from off planet, just like scattered around in various states of disrepair.
Heads ripped off, stuffing everywhere.
And no, they do look like that. Yeah, it seems like the local wildlife has been having fun with them.
It's a massacre. Oof, it's a teddy massacre. Okay.
Incredible. What do you see?
I'm thinking that there's at least a couple of like large whole like skeletons. Like, you don't have like the paneling on the sides because they've been stripped, but like that big like armature of like the bottom of big cargo ships.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, they've
like,
already...
Like skeleton bones, like elephant or whale bones.
They've already been processed by the scavengers of the wastes, and you're right, it's just the parts that are so big, it would be really hard to move it without power, you know, like big, big tools, you know? And it's eerie out here. And also, we are starting some clocks because shit is going down. All right, so we have an 8 clock that y'all are trying to fill. It's called Locate Meat Pod. Your goal is to locate the meat pod. We are also racing 2 other clocks. Let's see. One of them is Giddy Girls Find the Pod. That is a clock that exists. And the other one is, well, I'll tell you about that other one. So as you guys are out here, we're seeing the Wax Forest coming up ahead. And the Wax Forest is kind of an unusual spot because a lot of the, you know, most of the trash out here is random. The Wax Forest has been very carefully curated by a group of people, and it is all waxy-style substances that they could find put in one place. And there's also some, like, natural shit going on with the juice underground. Yeah, somebody give me a rundown on the juice. What is the juice? Who would like to tell me about the juice?
I feel like Tank is the best person to talk about juice.
Tank is the most qualified.
Sorry to voluntarily tell you what to do.
Yeah.
So the juice is a substance found on Trash Planet. It is a kind of a slimy, oozy kind of substance, green. But with the juice comes some unexpected powers to those who interact with it, mainly ingesting it. And people have tried to use it for specific purposes, but it's really fickle, and it results in some weird side effects when you try to use it. It usually ends up with unintended bad consequences.
Yeah. So these huge splashy scars we're seeing on people that are super colorful, those are called juice burns. And that is when the juice goes wrong. So it is good shit. Also, yeah.
Do you want to talk about the mechanical aspect of juice?
Yeah. And so the juice is represented on our end by a homemade oracle deck called the Juice Deck. So every time someone is using the juice, interacting with the juice, we're going to pull a card. And it's going to be very cool and very sick. Yeah. Also, the juice originated from the trash juice, where all the juice ran out of the trash, and it was one big mess, and it was great. Okay. So, pow.
So it's like an accumulation of all this, like, tech and trash and weird shit.
And nuclear fallout, yeah. And, like, weird stuff that was already on planet, and, you know, just sort of some sci-fi juice, you know. Sci-fi juice. Generalized, delicious sci-fi liquid, as we know.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
One could say it's the inherent chaos of the universe.
Whoa, man.
One could say that.
Some kind of religious order might say that. I don't know. Interesting. So as you guys are out here, you see the wax forest coming up ahead. It's really eerie. It doesn't look like anywhere else on Trash Planet. You don't see any people working in it right now, but typically there are a few people around, and so you're kind of on edge for that reason, too. But as you are going, you hear a lot of shit out here. You hear wind howling. You hear stuff falling over. Like, the mountains of trash are just always kind of falling over at all times. And you also hear the thrum of another skimmer. I think, Enla, you hear this first, where you're just cued in instantly. And you see another skimmer out here picking through the waste. And it's pretty far off right now, maybe about a half mile. But there's somebody else out here and they're moving slow, and you immediately get the sense they are doing exactly what you're doing. Oh yeah, we should take a second and talk about the concept of clocks, because they're a really important game mechanic. So we're going to use a lot of clocks for a lot of things, because each clock represents a progress bar towards something happening. So as the game master, I'll be setting clocks for our heroes, and they might be things like defeat the bad guy, find the missing thing. They're always intentionally vague so that characters can contribute to them in different ways. Like the defeat the bad guys clock, you could progress that through combat, but you could conceivably also do it through like dialogue or stealth or using the environment or whatever. And we call that ticking a clock when you progress a clock. So clocks are always 4, 6, or 8 segments. I might say, like, this clock is a 4 clock. That means you need to tick it 4 times to fulfill the goal. However, opposing forces also have clocks. So sometimes we have racing clocks, where we've got to fill our clock before the bad guys fill theirs. So this is a 6 clock. It is racing you. This is Doink's Burgery finds the pod. So we are up against the heroes of the Doink's Burgery. And let's see, so y'all rolled pretty bad on the engagement roll. So we're gonna tick. Okay. So Giddy Girls Find the Pod is a 6 clock as well. We're gonna tick 2 for them. And we're going to tick 1 on Doink's Burgery.
And where are we at with the locate meat pod?
You're at 0 because you rolled bad. You did a bad job.
In addition to this
part of the waxwork forest, as you're entering it, something, you probably all have masks on, right? Enla, do you wear a mask even when you're, like, I know you don't need one, but do you ever wear one just because, or I don't know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like being this far out, I probably would. I just don't really bother in the city.
Yeah. What does it look like?
It's not like any huge respirator situation, but it is just, in my mind, it's literally just like a piece of fabric she kind of wears. It's not like a full respirator.
It's like a cool bandana.
Yeah. It's like a cool, like, rave mask.
Yes! She's so cool. All right. So you take in a deep breath and you huck up this familiar smell of juice. There's a shimmer in the air. There's a shine in the area. We are in a shine zone. So this is where the juice becomes mist. It's low enough here. It's humid enough right now. You're going to be under a low-level juice effect for the preceding events, whatever they might be. So, Enla, because you sniffed it first.
Yeah.
Please pull for me our first juice card, and then read me the name and the verbs.
So smooth. Moon shooter, second of touch.
Ooh.
And then the verbs you said?
Yes.
Balancing, chancing, radiating.
I think right off the bat, you got the word balancing in there.
Yeah.
immediately, you have the sense that, like, the trash is shifting under you. Like, you're like, this is an unstable zone. Shit's about to go off. There's this other skimmer out ahead of you. There's other people in the waste. What do you guys do? What are you doing right now? We are in action.
I feel like Inla would give some sort of warning. One, about the skimmer, other skimmer. But two, as well, about the trash moving. So,
yeah, what do you say?
Hey guys. So this is unstable. We've got to keep moving. We need to get back on the skimmer as quick as possible. And it looks like we have company.
It'd be great if they could get caught in the trash avalanche.
Trash avalanche.
Enla says to herself. Interesting. Okay, what are we doing? What's the move?
Are we getting out of here, or are we looking around here?
I think we gotta look.
Yeah, we gotta scrounge.
We just gotta be super careful, guys. Like, this, it's gonna be... It's very uneven here. Lots of Rovens die in these kinds of situations.
It's okay. Tank's not a Roven.
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry. If only Rovens die, then I'm
Tank is
I'm
immediately good. Heartened. Okay.
Cool. Got it.
Yeah.
Are there any, like waxy landmarks?
Yeah, there's a huge pine tree looking thing. You can't tell if it was created or if it sprung from the earth, but it's massive. It's pretty unusual to have something freestanding that hasn't fallen over like that, so that's a big landmark for you. And then off in the horizon, you can see the Low Point Basin, which is a huge lake of juice. That's probably where this mist is rising off of, but like that's still a ways away. That's up by Pig Beach, where the pigs are, the night pigs. But yeah, anyway, it's daytime, so you're fine.
You don't have to worry about the night pigs.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you do?
I think Dank's gonna go look by the big tree.
Are you taking the skimmer? Or are you on foot?
Yeah, I'm going to go on foot.
Oh, shit. Okay. What does it look like as you are traversing the trash piles?
Kind of like I could feel like stuff just kind of falling away as I step through. So it's kind of like I'm walking with big snowshoes on.
Do you have snowshoes or like
no?
No. I mean, that could be an equipment thing.
That is true. Yeah. Trash shoes. No, I think Tank is just kind of winging it, just like trying to find stable ground as he goes to the giant wax tree.
Okay. Do you want to roll something for me?
Yeah, I'll roll scrounge. That is a 4.
That's a 4. Okay.
I just want to note, I have rolled different die for each one of these 4s.
Incredible. All right. So you are very awkwardly, like, you're, like, jumping off the edge of, like, a big industrial machine, and you're just scrabbling up, like, a turned-over cart, you know? It's really awkward being out here in the wastes. Your hands are cut up, like, just from earlier this morning, you're just like, shit, you know? And that, like, kind of haze in the air, even through your respirator, you can feel it. Like, it's really hard to fully block out juice. So, also, as we know, every time the juice is in play, any one that you roll is going to incur a juice burn, just so you know. It doesn't even have to be your highest one, it's just any one. So, yeah. And juice burns are not permanent conditions, but they take some time to get rid of. So, you are hopping out and scrabbling around, you're out by this tree. This wax kind of crunches under your feet. It feels very strange here. You probably don't come out in the trash very often, right?
No.
Yeah, okay. Feels weird. Feels bad. You're not into it. And you, like, rock up by this tree. And you can feel shit moving deep, deep down below you. And you're like, ah, shit, you know. And you look out and you can see the Low Point Basin and you can see mist rising off it. And you see the glint of something that looks a lot brighter than everything around it. It looks like it has not been sandblasted by the, you know, acid rains and the fucking juice. You know, it looks pretty new and it's out by Pig Beach. Pretty far away, though. We're going to call that One Tick. Okay. So maybe a couple miles out, you're like, is that it? Like, you can't quite tell, but it looks really bright to you.
I'm gonna look back to the group and I'm gonna like try to get their attention non-verbally.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna start doing a bunch of like hand signs that that no one, like, I told no one about. Yeah. And they make no sense to anyone.
So back with the group. What is Tank doing? Do you know what's happening, Connie? He's like doing this weird interpretive dance. Is he trying to get our attention? Like,
I mean, he has our attention. I just don't know what any of this means.
Maybe it's part of the training that he does for Tickball.
Hey, don't move too much. You're gonna shift the trash.
So the complication at this point strikes. You feel this tingle in the back of your spine right before it happens. You feel it more than hear it as something breaks orbit and something is going to hit the ground here soon. You don't know how far off it is. You don't know, like, what the deal is. You're just like, shit. And you gotta go now. So that, we're gonna call that a 4 o'clock, and it is 3 ticks. So unless anyone would like to resist, so Tank, this is your role, so you could resist if you wanted to. However, this is a 4 o'clock called Orbital Strike. Just so you know.
I will try to resist that.
Okay.
That's a 5. So.
One stress.
Okay. So we're going to call that 2 ticks on Orbital Strike. You have a little bit more time. Let's see. So you've successfully removed one of your ticks. So just for the listener, like, it's not that it happened and then it didn't happen. It's that I'm telling you what could happen and we're deciding how hard to push ourselves and what we're doing in these moments as time stretches out in front of us and we're reacting fast. Let's talk about stress. So stress is a core game mechanic. Characters can choose to take on stress to advance their goals. Each character has a stress track. It's about 9 ticks long, give or take. And if they completely fill that track, they will instantly drop out of the mission and take on a trauma condition that affects their story and their character indefinitely. So stress won't necessarily kill you, but it has huge ramifications, and it's something we're being real careful about. Managing your stress is a huge part of the game. So you, like, what do you do, Enlez? You're like, shit, you know, this is happening.
We need to take cover. Stat.
Yeah, what do you do on the skimmer?
All right, so I jump on the skimmer with Lottie, and I'm motioning for Connie to get on with me. We're like, hey, we need to get over there to Tank, and we need to find cover immediately.
Lottie just starts speeding the skimmer over towards Tank.
Cool. All right, you just scoop him up. You are scooped. Okay.
And where'd he go? Where did we go in?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Tank, did you see something?
Yeah. Down by Pig Beach, there's something shiny.
Lottie's already accelerating that way.
I will say, you're realizing that that is a low point, and so if anything hits, a lot of stuff falls gravity style to a low point. So that's a more dangerous place to be.
I think Lottie, unless directed otherwise, is in a little bit of a panic and just heard a location and is moving.
Yeah. What do you guys say between you?
Wait, Pig Beach? You said Pig Beach?
Yeah, didn't you see my hand signs?
I saw them, did not understand them.
But we went over this! Flashback to us going over this.
Yes! Tank, what are you saying to Enla as you figure out your hand signs?
Look.
Okay.
Alright, so when I make the ear sign, with the hands over my ears.
Like this bunny rabbit thing? Okay.
Night pigs.
Night pigs,
okay?
But I won't be able to see you because it's night.
You're in the middle of
No, it represents night pigs. It's not me only doing it at night.
You're in the middle of the dinner rush. Halbert is standing there screaming at you over this conversation. There's just like orders ticking up behind you. Sorry, we flash back to present day.
Yeah. You did the night pig sign. How was I supposed to know what that meant?
Because I told you. Right there's night pigs at Pig Beach.
You are slashing down this trash pile. You're hurtling over shit. You're going really fast. Lottie, you're an amazing driver. We're really proud of you. Someone roll something. What are we doing here? It sounds like Lottie is the one taking action here by driving. So what would you like to roll?
I can't think of anything other than touch that really it would be.
Okay.
Well, so. What about find?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I would allow a find roll.
I'm trying to like find a safe location or something like that.
Well, it depends. Are you trying to find a safe location or are you trying to go toward something the shiny thing?
Yeah.
Nobody has stressed the importance of finding a safer location for Lottie, so she is still heading over to Pig Beach.
I think Enlo would be like really acutely aware. Like, yeah. You probably have some gut sense of like how the trash piles mm-hmm. move, but you have not communicated this.
No.
You absolute bitch, Natalie. When will we buy her cooked dice? Come on.
That was a six, folks.
I'm going to fight all of you.
All right. I got a six.
All right. We know. It's Natalie rolling, so there's a six. Okay.
So I perfectly succeeded on the find roll going mm-hmm. towards the thing that Devin Tank spotted in the shiny. Mm-hmm. But we're probably pretty far from it. So I'm going to say that Lottie spotted like a good path for the skimmer to get like a really good vantage point on what it is.
Yeah.
And that's where she's headed now.
I'm gonna say this is some Fast and Furious shit where like the trash pile is shifting under you. Even just the concussive force of something enter like falling from orbit, it's already kind of cracking down, and you see like something like screaming metal and you're like, oh, a ramp, and you're just like you're just like smiling pleasantly, your gray hair is like flapping behind you, you're like, ah, incredible. So tick two on your locate object clock.
Yeah, so this is the point when Enla realizes that they don't have the spidey senses that she does. And she's like, guys, do you not feel that something is moving? Like this whole pile is shifting. There's something coming into orbit. Like, we have got to find some cover.
Connie, how are you doing? Also, how often have you been in the wastes, right?
Not very often at all. And I guess to respond, we'll be fine. We can take cover behind the lake of trash, maybe, or something. We'll find something down there. It's more important that we find the meat, the delivery.
Even if we get crushed in the process?
We won't. The weave is with us today.
But Pig Beach is a low point. It's entirely possible that we'll get completely covered in trash.
I have faith in our prospects.
Pray first, Connie.
I think examine would be the right one to see, I guess, to try to find good cover, or at least to see if I can tell how the trash is going to fall.
Ooh, I like that as like, okay, a tapestry thing. Like, you're trying to see the weave. Like,
mm-hmm. I'm trying to see the way the trash will fall based on the shape of the hill.
Okay, all right. Roll something for me.
Examine?
Sure, yeah.
Risky standard?
Yeah, risky standard. Thank you.
That's a five.
Incredible. Okay. What are you seeing as like you're looking behind you at this higher up mountain? You're seeing the wax forest, you're seeing these like superstructures and industrial machines that are tilted at crazy angles already. And you're feeling that pressure in your gut. Like, what do you see as you see it all fall into place?
Like, what I see is a bunch of simulations almost running in my head, and there's one spot, like, basically, because of the way that the trash has fallen, there's a large, like, metal piece of ship or something that's, like, V-shaped that'll part anything Ooh. Falling well enough that it might not keep us safe forever, but it'll definitely provide more cover and make sure that we're not fully submerged in trash if it were to come to that.
Yeah. What does it feel like to be like, yeah, I can still access this, like, this is still part of me, you know?
It feels as good as it always does. I'm very connected to the universe. Maneuver us to this corner here. That ship, that piece of ship, that'll save us. And then I like look to Enla for approval. Like, isn't that good?
Good spot, Connie.
Yes. All right. And then your consequence strikes, and zoom, the camera cuts away to a different skimmer, a further out skimmer, and we see piloting this skimmer. Also, this skimmer is like nicer than yours. This is a big, tough, black skimmer. It's kind of like, imagine a pontoon boat, you know? It's like, it's just chugging along steady. And the person driving it is wearing a very, very crazy mask. It looks like a huge cube, but it's covered in like checkerboard. But the checkerboard is bright, bright teal, and like hurts to look at. Hazmat yellow on all sides. So like when you look at this thing, you're just like, Jesus Christ, you know? Like, yeah, pretty bad. Pretty rough.
Eye poison,
yeah. And so we see this person piloting her skimmer, and she's got a couple people on board with her. And critically, she's also covered in like, you know, the bandoliers, it's like the belts that cover you.
Yeah.
That is covered in whistles and in dried meats and in various objects. And she is like trying to whistle through her mask, and her mask is a huge cube, so it's just coming like, fuck, and she like hucks her, like, you know, heaves it up a little bit, sticks her mouth out, tries to whistle without breathing in at all, and she does like quick, I won't do it because microphones, like a couple of quick whistles that are clearly signals to something, and we see like zooming alongside the skimmer, we see three little vertebeast. They're about as big as whippets, the dogs. They are like various acidic poison frog colors. They look real fucked up and bad. Like these are the dog weasel worm things, and they are just so fast and so long. And like a couple of them hop onto the skimmer with her, like horrible noise, tongues lolling out. And she like reaches in her vest and pulls out, it's a really, really small container of something. And she like holds it up to this vertebeast and like horrible dog noises, pugs on crack, it's bad. And then they go diving off, and these things running through the trash is like a joy to see. Like these things have evolved specifically to survive on Trash Planet, so they're just rippling through, they're just fast and away. And we are gonna tick two on Doink's Burgery Finds the Pod.
You're listening to a Hypergallant production. If you like what you heard, please leave us a rate and review. Check out our website on hypergallant.com. Thank you to The Dren, The Serfs, Crime of Passing, Herberts Again, and our very own Rabbit Sullivan for the use of their music. Thank you to Morgan Davey, Malcolm Craig, and Gregor Hutton for the use of their game A-State.
A swarm of what?
Tell us about the swarm.
trash bees.
You're making me edit this together. You cannot interrupt.
No, keep that in. I'm sorry, I just like to make people mad. Yeah.